All right, welcome back, everybody. You guys want to go ahead and to your seats, so we'll go ahead and get started this morning. So that's good. People are talking. That means there's life, right? Let's see. If you can hear me, clap once. If you can hear me, clap twice. All right. Works for kindergartners and adults, so we appreciate that. And senior citizens, too. Listen, welcome. We're glad that you're here. You've got reason to celebrate, right? We're alive, 1 year anniversary. We're excited about what God is doing, right? He's good. He's a good God. It's a milestone, right? It's not the end all and be all. We always say this church is not about me. It's not even about it on our leadership team. It's about what God is doing. It's about our faithfulness to Jesus and what he's called us to do. So at this time, we're just going to call up the team who helped us launch. I just want you to recognize, and some of you probably know, right? But I have Steph, my brother, Stephen, Adriana, come on up, guys. Just really quick so you can recognize. There's a lot of work that goes into starting a new church. I don't know if you guys know that. There is a lot of, actually, before we even launched, we were meeting for about 7-8 months. Come on up, Louie. Where's Jenny at too, right? So you can kind of see, this is our team. This is the people behind the scenes, right? I always say, if you want to look behind the scenes at the Wizard of Oz, like who's doing all this stuff, this is it, right? So you guys, Number one thing that I can ask you guys to do, always keep praying for our church. Always keep praying for our leaders, right? The enemy, we've learned about him 2 weeks ago. He wants to derail what we're doing, right? He wants to break us down. The number one place where he will try to break us down is with this team of people right here, being quite honest with you. But it's for us, and we always say this, that you guys know this weekly. I say, it's not about us. Guys, it's not about us. It's not about what's the distractions of ministry and this and that. It is all about Jesus. And keep our eyes on the things above. And so that has been kind of our call as we've been meeting and planted this church together. And I will tell you guys, and I mean this, it is the greatest privilege of my life to serve with you guys. I mean it. It is the greatest privilege of my life to serve you, the church body, right? I mean that whole heart. Everybody in here, you guys need to know this. Nobody takes a single dollar from the church. Nobody. All the things we talk about, the tithe goes right back into the ministry. We all work full time, guys. We don't do this because we need, like, I went to seminary and this is going to be my job. And I thought, there are some professional pastors out there. You're not going to see them up here. What you see up here is people who love Jesus. And we love each other. And we love you, right? And that's been at the heart of what we're trying to do at the church, is just to be authentic. So we're not perfect. We're going to mess up from time to time. I'll forget half the lyrics sometimes in the middle of the verse. I don't know what's happening. Jesus is working in me. But we do this because we love Jesus. And so we always say, listen, we're inviting you to be a part of it, to be a part of what we're doing, right? And I just, you know, really quickly, because we're not going to, you know, everybody grabs a mic and talks about what it means. Listen, come see us today at our brother and sister's house. We're going to have break bread. We're going to fellowship. We're going to share about what it means to serve. Ask us questions. I'm telling you. The greatest privileges that we can have is to serve and do our part for the kingdom. But you guys need to know, I am so thankful for you guys. I mean it. I'm so thankful for my wife, my kids, my brother Stephen, my milk chocolate brother, Amado. I say we're like twins, right? I'm like the lighter version. He's the milk chocolate version of me. He's sweeter than me, too. My niece Jasmine, JD. Sorry, but I can't help it. My sister-in-law, Rose, Giselle on worship. Everybody in here serves behind the scenes, doing things. It's all for the kingdom, guys. So I just want you to just say, you know, keep praying for the team. Keep praying for the increase. We need more. You know, the harvest is great, but the workers are few, and you're part of the body, right? So we encourage you. I know the kids will sometimes say, hey, get involved. If you know how to play like the tuba or the clarinet, we could use you up here. The trombone, we'll take it, you know. But again, we're really just, number one, I just want to say thank you. I want to thank you to God, and thank you for you guys for, you know, being a part of our church body. It really means a lot to us. So, so I'm going to pray over our team, if that's okay. If you guys want to join me, go ahead and stand. Right? Go ahead and stand up. You can come up here, you know, raise a hand. We just want to thank God for what he's doing in our lives, but continue to ask him for provision, for protection over our church. Amen. Father God, we come before you in the name of your son, Jesus, Lord. Thank you, Lord God, for who you are. You are so good, Lord God. We love you. Lord God, thank you for giving us opportunity to serve. Thank you for giving us the call to plant this church, Lord. And thank you for all the people that are up here, Lord God, that also answered the call to plant the church and say, yes, we will go and plant that church. Yes, we will go and see how we can make you known, Lord Jesus, and how we can continue to know you even more. So, Lord God, will you continue to bless our team? Will you bless our church, Lord God? Will you continue to help us to spread the good news of who you are? And Lord, we ask for protection and provision, Lord God. Protection from the evil one, from temptation, from sin, from division within the unity of the church. But help us to be eyes on you at all times. Help our eyes to always be on you, Lord Jesus. Because when you're with us, Lord God, Lord, we have victory already. Who can defeat us, Lord God? We have victory in your name, Lord God. So just continue to bring protection and provision for our church, Lord God, and our church leadership team. Thank you for the opportunity to answer the call to say yes, Jesus. Wherever you lead, we will go. And help us, Lord God, not to just be content with the one, Lord God, but to continue to multiply churches, Lord God. Bring young leaders and leaders that have the heart to want to serve and plant more churches, Lord God. We're not done with just one church. You've called us to do more because there is a huge need, Lord God. People need to know who you are. There is a world that is hurting out there, and they don't know that they can just reach out to you, Lord Jesus. So help us, Lord God, not to be satisfied, but to help us to continue to multiply, Lord, kingdom for your honor and for your glory. Lord, we love you. In Jesus Christ's name, amen. Amen. Thank you, guys. Thank you, brother. At this time, I'm going to have my brother Tony come on up. I'm going to have Tony. He's going to share a little bit because it's always, I say, you know, you guys get tired of listening to me talk and other stuff. But I asked Tony to come and speak and give us a little bit of a reflection about what being a member of the church has been like and when he joined, and just a little, you know, maybe a highlight of what God has been doing in his life, right, through the life of the church. And it's nerve-wracking, right, to get every time you get up here. So deep breaths, Tony. Got this. Amen.
Amen. Everybody knows that I don't do good talking in front of a lot of people. So, first of all, I want to thank God for helping me up here. And I want to thank Pastor Michael for inviting me. My year of salvation and coming back to Jesus has been a good one. I'm not saying it's been perfect. I've stumbled along the way, but every time I pray to God to forgive me and to help me out, I feel like he's done it. Pretty much a year ago, I got saved again. I raised my hand and got saved again, and I thank Jesus for that. And then a little while later, I got asked if I wanted to get baptized, and I'll be honest with you, I didn't know if I wanted to, but after praying and talking to my partner, my wife Irene, she said, go for it. So I did, and let me tell you, it's been a blessing to me and to my family, and I'm just happy that I did it, because, I mean, I feel more fulfilled now. I feel happier. I feel, anybody that knows me, really knows me, knows that I couldn't get up here and talk. But now that I've done it and I've been baptized, I feel like Jesus has given me the courage to come up here and talk. And I just want to thank Pastor Michael, Amado, Stephen for helping me out. And most of all, I want to thank my wife Irene for encouraging me. And I want to thank you all for making me feel welcome. I mean, I love my church family now. So, thank you.
Awesome. Yeah, that's perfect, brother. Good job. Next year, Tony's going to preach the whole sermon. See how God is moving in his life? He was nervous. I hear he's talking in the community group. He's involved and engaged. Isn't it awesome how God comes in, right? When we let God be God and how he comes to just transform our life. It's amazing. God is good. Amen. Thank you, Tony. We appreciate you. It takes a lot of courage to come up here and to share your heart, you know, so thank you. Listen, the honor goes to God. Right? He's the one who gives us the strength and the courage, right? Philippians 4:13, I can do all things through Christ who gives me the strength and the capacity and the ability to overcome all things. Even our fear of coming and talking in front of people. He is good. Amen? Awesome. At this time, we're going to go ahead and dismiss the kiddos. So Adriana is over there, stay to the door. Who have any kids that are going to go to class? All right, we do have one. He's looking very sharp. I like it. All right, let's pray. Wait. Let's pray. Father God, we come before you in the name of your son, Jesus. Lord, thank you, Lord God, for the gift of children in our church. Lord God, will you continue just to help us to plant the seed of faith, Lord God, to know you, to love you, Lord God. And Lord God, will you just continue to be with Adriana and the children's class today, Lord God, that you would just speak truth to them, Lord, and know, number one, that the children are loved by you, Lord Jesus, and by the church body, Lord God. Thank you again for this morning. In Jesus Christ's name, amen. Awesome. All right. Man, it's good. Deep breath. You guys doing good? All right. Well, we're going to be covering some ground here today. Last week, we started this is a two-part sermon that we're preaching, and we're right in the middle of our Rooted campaign, right? The goals for the campaign are to be connected with God, the church, and your purpose. And last week, we talked about what is our purpose, right? What does God want us to do? What is he calling us to do? Because when you put your faith in Jesus Christ, one of the things that I would say in that worldview is that you know where you came from, right? We covered creation in Genesis, and you know where you're going when you die. So there's that gap in between. You know, oftentimes it's called the dash on your tombstone or your headstone. And a lot of that is, there's a lot of questions. What is my purpose? Why am I here, right? And so we started to dive into what our purpose is. And what does Jesus asking us to do? But then also, how he wants us to do it. And we covered a lot of ground in terms of how Jesus wants to be what? He wants us to be to have a servant attitude. He wants us to be servant leaders. And he also wants us to be humble. And we did, if you guys remember, JD was here, and we washed his feet. He was all ticklish when I was cleaning between his toes. But we talked about that because Jesus left us an object lesson in terms of how he wants us to serve in humility and to love each other that way. And so today we're going to pick up on that same sermon and that same topic. So the title for the sermon is How Can I Make the Most of My Life, Part 2. Right? So, but how many of you guys... you know, one of the things when we talk about this, and this happens a lot, if you go to church, oftentimes churches are always looking for what? For volunteers. Like, we need this, you know, we need help with the children's ministry. We need help in worship team. And so there was a church that was in need of, really desperate need of children's ministry. And one day the pastor stood up, right? And he said to the church, he said, who wants to help in children's ministry? And he was like, he was like, I'm going to do a call them all for a call from the pulpit, and a lot of people are going to show up. A lot of people are going to raise their hands because I'm going to be like, you know, peer pressure. He did it, and then nobody raised their hand. And so he's like, what the heck? He was a little bit surprised, right? And then he said, okay, how about anyone who doesn't want to help the children's ministry, right, who doesn't want to help the children's ministry stand up? And then still, right, everybody stayed seated. He's like, what the heck? So nobody raised their hand. Nobody stood up. And finally, then he said, okay, everybody that wants to help in children's ministry, stay sitting down. And that was everybody. The goal was, and it's kind of light fun, right? It's a little bit of lighthearted fun. But listen, at the end of the day, the point is, oftentimes when you do like a call, like this, we need this help here, we need this help there, when it's very like it's a blast. It's called like a shotgun blast. Oftentimes people, they will kind of have the inclination, but they won't because they think somebody else is going to do it. Does that make sense? They'll think somebody else is going to help out. That's not really my passion. I'm not. But here's the thing. Right? We're all called to serve in some capacity. Listen, if you're part of the family, and you guys have heard me say this a lot, it has responsibilities. How many of you guys know that there's responsibilities in the family? Yeah? We have different roles to play, but everybody has a responsibility. This is one of the things I'm trying to teach my kids. I tell them, it's not my job to be your slave. You know, like to pick up after you, to cook and clean, to feed you, to purchase all your clothes. Like you have to contribute, right? How many of you guys, does that resonate with anybody? How many of you guys know people that they don't get that part? They just think like, well, you had me, so you better just provide. Oh man, like you want to take out the belt already. You're like, what the heck? But that's something that has to be taught. We have to instill that into our kids, that there is responsibility and that it is a privilege to be a part of the body that works, a part of the family that takes ownership of it, because it's like a family unit is like a body, hands, feet, head, right? And every part of it is important because we all have something to do. And if not, then one part of the body is felt like it's doing all the heavy lifting and feels unappreciated and feels like they're doing all the work. And that's not what God intended, right? And it's the same in the church body. But here's my thing. I always say this. Man, we never want to say like, get plugged in, this and that, guilt trip you. We have needs here. Every church has needs, right? But here's the thing. You've been called for your specific purpose. Sometimes you're going to have to step up and do things that maybe you're like, that's not your gift. But there's a need for it. And so we will need that. But we're never going to say, well, you have to do this or you have to do that. Serving out of compulsion is not the place, not the way that we want anybody to serve. I'll be quite honest with you. It's not going to bring out your best, your gifts and talents and abilities. And so we want to make sure, even as we say this, even as you hear the next janitors up here always say, hey, there's this opportunity. You have to find your purpose and your passion where God is calling you to serve. But God is calling you to serve. Let me just say that clearly. It's not optional, guys. It's not optional. God is calling you to serve. So it's our job to try to say, discover, hey, where is God calling you to serve? What are your gifts, talents, and abilities? And what is your purpose and passion that will then fuel you, right? To get past the mistakes and this and that. And because otherwise, oftentimes when you're serving, quite honest with you, it becomes about the time, you're tired, the resources. And if you're looking at those things, you're going to get burned out. I'm going to tell you right now. But if you're doing it because Jesus has called you to do it, it doesn't matter what obstacle is in the way. And it doesn't matter how you feel because Jesus is asking you to do it. And you will get it done. Amen? All right. So the first fill in the blank, if you guys all are following along there, is number one, serving is an outward expression of what God is doing in our heart. It's proof that we love God, that we love people. Serving is an outward expression of what God is doing in our heart, and it's proof that we love God and we love people. And the scriptures that we're going to be reading for that point is out of Luke chapter 10, verses 25 through 37. That's Luke 10, 25 through 37. You can follow along or you can have your Bibles or on your app. And it says, on one occasion, an expert of the law stood up to test Jesus. Teacher, he asked, what must I do to inherit eternal life? What is written in the law, he replied. How do you read it? He answered, love the Lord your God with all your heart, with all your strength, and with all your mind, and love your neighbor as yourself. You have answered correctly, Jesus replied. Do this and you will live. But he wanted to justify himself, so he asked Jesus, well, who is my neighbor? In reply, Jesus said, a man was going down to Jerusalem by Jericho when he was attacked by robbers. They stripped him of his clothes, beat him, and went away, leaving him half dead. A priest happened to be going down the same road. He saw the man. He passed by on the other side. So to a Levite, when he came and saw him, passed by on the other side. But a Samaritan, as he traveled, came to the man where the man was and saw him. He took pity on him. He went out to him and bandaged his wounds, pouring on olive oil and wine. I don't know why olive wants to come out like olive oil. Pouring on oil and wine. Then he put the man on his own donkey, brought him to an inn, and took care of him. The next day he took out 2 denarii and gave them to the innkeeper. Look after him, he said. And when I return, I'll reimburse you any extra expense you may have. Which of these 3 do you think was a neighbor to the man who fell into the hands of the robber? The expert of the law replied, one who had mercy on him. Jesus told him, go and do likewise. Amen? You guys are probably all familiar with this passage. This passage is called the Good what? Samaritan. You guys are all very familiar with this passage. But what's interesting to that, right, the very first portion of it is, and this is, it's also in Matthew 22, but it's all is recorded here as well, where he says what? Love the Lord your God with all your heart, with all your soul, with all your strength, and with all your mind. I mean, every part of your being needs to love God. That's the first commandment, right? And the second commandment is like, love your neighbor as yourself. And that's, it's easy. I would say, man, when you know who God is, you can love him, right? You get that. Number one, that we sang a song where it says that I stand on your love. And so we need to know God first, right? It's very difficult to love somebody that you don't have a good relationship with. You don't have an intimate relationship with knowing him. So we got to love God that way. But the second challenge is to say, you got to love your neighbor, right? And it's easy to love people that like you. Now, how many of you guys have good neighbors? How many of you guys have bad neighbors? If your neighbor's here, you don't have to raise your hand. All right? I'm just saying. Like, I'm not going to raise my hand to that one. They're here. No. I have good neighbors. My mom's my neighbor. But it's easy to love people that love you, that like you, right? That we're like the same things. But it's very difficult to love somebody that you are different culturally, linguistically. You're from different religions even. Let's be honest with you. The tale of the Good Samaritan, the parable of the Good Samaritan is Jesus is telling him, he's saying, he didn't say like your best friend, your neighbor. He challenged them because what? The Jewish people at the time, they had nothing to do with the Samaritans. They had nothing to do with them. And that's why he made it very personal. Listen, showing our love for God is not just about lip service. It's not just about saying like, oh, I love God, I'm going to love people. But then we still, right, when we get convicted and we know that God is putting people on our path, that he's asking us to be the hands and the feet, and we say, I don't really like that person, Jesus. That person is not like me. And this is a place, guys, where we can be honest. Every single person in here has some kind of condition. We're immediately, whether we say it or not, we're constantly judging people. Constantly. And if you tell me no, you're a liar. I'm just going to tell you straight up. Every one of us, the minute that we see somebody, what do? We start like, is that person safe? Should I? I'm guilty of it. I'm going to tell you right now. I'm always sizing people up when I'm walking down the street. Especially if my kids and my family are with me, I was like, let's go this way, guys. That guy looks kind of shady. Yes or no? I'm the only one? Right. No, it's true. It's our human nature. But Jesus wants us to be his hands and his feet, right? And to understand that he gives us grace and mercy all the time. Guys, the people that we avoid, if Jesus saw us when we were unsaved, he would say, I don't want nothing to do with that guy, right? So we have to extend the same grace and mercy. But listen, we call ourselves believers in Jesus Christ, right? What is the first point? It's proof of what God is doing in our hearts, right? When we love God, we have to immediately then what? Start to soften that heart up and start to break down what's in our brain sometimes about what we think, and we're always making judgments and casting judgment on people. It's true. And God says, listen, I don't want you to see people like that. I want you to see people the way that Jesus sees people. And that can be hard. Because how many of you have friends that you know, they're like, man, that guy's hard to love. She's hard to love. Because they're kind of knuckleheads. Yeah? But Jesus loved us, guys, even while, I know the scripture says Jesus loves us while we're still sinners. Jesus loved us while we were knuckleheads too. Amen? Some of us in here are still knuckleheads sometimes. Okay. His grace and his mercy is sufficient. And so he's saying, man, I love you. I love you. You need to know. But now you have to exercise that. Because listen, it's one thing is if you just want to hog somebody's love, right? Isn't it like when we sang that song, man, my fear doesn't stand a chance when I stand in your love. Like, man, that's like God is, but he's only my God. He's not your God, Joey. He's mine. He's all mine. We're very possessive. You know, people like, we're going to be super jealous with God. No, we're meant to share his love out of abundance of what? Of gratitude for what he has done for us in our lives. So it's an outward expression of what God is doing in our own life. We are called to love God and to love people. And that's all people. You know, you guys have been seeing the Jesus Gets Us campaign. Oftentimes you see those visuals, right? And there's people on there that you say, man, I wouldn't hang out with that person. If you're honest. You guys are learning a lot about me. They're like, man, pastor doesn't like a lot of people. No. I'm just being, I'm right. You kind of say, oh, man, I don't know. But he says, Jesus gets us. He knows. He sees us where we are. He says, we always go back and read the New Testament. Jesus was always seeing people, everybody. Listen, we're all flawed, guys. We need to stop and we need to see people the way that Jesus sees us. We're all worthy of his love and we are all worthy of redemption through faith in Jesus Christ. Because, and when you love God and when God loves you, don't you want to share that? Remember when you first fell in love? Some of you guys are still there. You're like, oh man, holding hands with my loved one. Come here, baby. Isn't it feel good? Hey, come on, guys. It does. When you love somebody like that, it's not a secret. You want to share that love, don't you? And we say, man, God loves us like that. Why wouldn't we want to share that love? Some of you guys remember I hear telling stories like you would talk on the phone all night. You can't even hang up the phone. You're like, you hang up first. And you hang up. I love you. I love you more. Some of you guys are throwing up in your mouth. That's so cheesy, but it's true, right? You guys remember that? Man, you guys, the young kids don't even know nowadays, right? We had to put in work. You should have gone to our place when we were teenagers, man. It was like a fight over who can get the phone because we didn't have cell phones back then. So it was like, they'd be full-on fist fights to get over the phone to talk to the person you love. Right? I used to walk from my house like 6 blocks, the kids walking with my dimes so I can call my girlfriend at the Orange Cove Liquor on 4th Street. True story. See? That's commitment. But see, don't we do these crazy things for the people we love? When we love God, man, God is going to ask you to stretch yourself out of your comfort zone a little bit. I stretch myself to walk 5 blocks to talk to the woman I love, right? He's going to ask me to do some things that maybe is a little bit extra work, but we do it because we love God. Amen? And we have to he's asking us to love him and our neighbors, even those, again, that some people might consider outsiders and shunned by society. No, it's true story. The second point for today's message is that serving puts your gifts, talents, and abilities to good use for the kingdom of God. Serving puts your gifts, talents, and abilities to good use for the kingdom of God. And the scripture that we're going to be reading there is Matthew 25. It's a parable of talents. Depending on what version you're reading, in the NIV, it's a parable of the bags of gold. Matthew 25, verse 14 says, again, it will be like a man going on a journey who called his servants and entrusted his wealth to him. To one he gave 5 bags of gold, to another 2 bags, and to another 1 bag, each according to his ability. Then he went on his journey. The man who had received 5 bags of gold went at once and put his bag of money to work and gained 5 bags. So also the one with 2 bags of gold gained 2 more. But the man who had received 1 bag went off, dug a hole in the ground, and hid his master's money. A long time after, the master of the servants returned and settled accounts with them. The man who had received 5 bags of gold brought the other 5. Master, he said, you entrusted me with 5 bags of gold. See, I have gained 5 more. The master replied, well done, good and faithful servant. You have been faithful with a few things. I will put you in charge of many things. Come and share with your master's happiness. The man with 2 bags of gold also came. Master, he said, you entrusted me with 2 bags of gold, I see. I have gained 2 more. His master replied, well done, good and faithful servant. You have been faithful with a few things. I will put you in charge of many things. Come and share in your master's happiness. Then the man who had received 1 bag of gold came. The master said, I knew you are a hard man, harvesting where you have not sown and gathered, where you have not scattered seed. So I was afraid and went out and hid your gold in the ground. See, here is what belongs to you. His master replied, you wicked, lazy servant. So you knew that I harvest where I have not sown and gather where I have not scattered seed? Well then, you should have put my money in the deposit with the bankers, so then I would have received it back with interest. So take the bag of gold from him and give it to the one who has 10 bags, for whoever has will be more, and they will have an abundance. Whoever does not have, even what they have will be taken from them, and throw the worthless servant outside into the darkness where they're weeping and mashing of teeth. Wow. That's a little bit of a scary part when he talks about what he did to the ungrateful servant, right? To the lazy servant. But this is Jesus talking in this parable. And he's talking about how God is asking us. God is the owner of all things. Amen? He is a creator. He owns it all, guys. This is what I'm saying. Like, it's not like God is asking us. You've heard me say this. Your life is not even your life, guys. If you believe what this book says, that he spoke the universe into existence, that he made us in his image and his likeness, your life isn't even your life. The breath that you take, the very next breath that you take, listen to me, is only because God allows it. Do you understand that? We are not self-made, guys. A monkey is not your uncle. Okay. Although you might have an uncle that's a monkey. Sorry. He acts like one. Sorry. I can't help myself. I'm in a good mood. God is the creator of all things and he owns it all, guys. So when you understand that, man, there is such a release in knowing that you are not in control. Listen, say it with me. I am not in control. God is sovereign. And so he owns it all. And he is a steward. We're just stewards. You know what a steward is? You're here to take care of things. You're not the end all and be all. You're not God. There's a great comfort and release in knowing that. How many of you guys, you have kids, right? That you're like sick to your stomach about sometimes because you worry about it. If your kid's here, don't raise your hand. I'm kidding. Do you know what I'm saying? We're stewards of them. They don't belong to us. They are a gift. And we try to do the best we can with them, yes? We try to cultivate, pour time and energy and effort into them. But they don't belong to us. They belong to God. Right? And I'm not saying like, you know, not just be a bad parent, deadbeat parent from here on. I'm not saying that at all. Okay, don't get it twisted. What I am saying is it is a gift that God has given us. By the same way, if you look at the parable of the talents or the bags of gold, he's saying that some people are very gifted, spiritual gifts, right? They've been given a lot. And we're all of us in here. We're going to come to a time where we have to be in front of the Lord. And the question is going to be, what did you do with the gifts, talents, and abilities that I gave you? Did you just bury them? Did you do nothing with them? Don't you know that I've placed you strategically within these people, within these families, within these friends, so you can multiply the kingdom? Use your talents, gifts, and abilities for his honor and his glory. The question that he has, and the one that it says is the first servant, right, had 5 bags of gold, 5 talents, if you will, and he multiplied them. He says, here's what I did, God. And he says, well done, good and faithful servant, right? Let me come and share in your master's happiness. And the one that didn't have five, because sometimes you're looking around and says, well, that's not fair. He has five. No, the one that had two was busy working his two bags of gold, working his talents. And when time came, right, for a reckoning with the master, what happened? The master didn't say, well, you only got two. No, he says, you've multiplied it based on what you were given. Well done, good and faithful servant. Come and share in your master's happiness. Man, I'm telling you, if you love Jesus and God has given you gifts and talents and abilities, wouldn't you want to be that one? I mean, how many of you guys are people pleasers in here? Some of us are. You want to do well. You want to impress. How many of you guys are people displeasers? Don't raise your hand. I'm kidding. I know people like that. Well, they will just do everything they can to get under your skin. I have a cousin like that. As soon as you know him, I was like, dude, can you just stop, bro? Like, you're always digging in. There's people like that in your life, yeah? If it's, anyway. Here's what I'm saying, though. The servant that had two bags of gold, he multiplied it, and he did the same thing that the one that had five bags of gold. He wasn't worried and said, well, you gave him five. He was busy working what the master had given him. And here's my challenge to you. Are you busy working with what the master has given you? Or are you just sitting there? Right? Because the third servant is what? The lazy and wicked servant. And what did the lazy and wicked servant do? He challenges the master and says, I know that you harvest and you reap where you have not sown. Oh man, that guy has... Are you kidding me? And he says, so I buried it. Here it is. Here's what you gave me. Almost like flipping. You know what that means? Yeah, here. Throws it at him almost. Right? Has anybody ever done something like that to you? Where they just kind of like throw something at you? You size them up real quick. You're like, hey, I'm a Christian, but don't push me like that. I'm kidding. Don't do that. I'm sorry, guys. I had coffee this morning. But he hid his talent, guys. He hid his bag. And God had given that gift and talent and ability for him to do something with it. Instead, he just buried it and did nothing with it. The reality is that, listen, we are all going to have a reckoning with the master. And do we want to be like the talent, like the first two servants? The first two servants will at least put their talents and gifts and abilities to work and multiply them for what? For God's honor and his glory. I want to be on the side where Jesus says, well done, good and faithful servant. Right? Come and share your master's happiness. Man, wouldn't it be awesome to be with Jesus? And I'm just saying, like, I'm jealous of the disciples, guys, I am. When I read, I'm like, man, I wish I was there. I wish I could see. Like, I heard you, I was like, hey, Jesus, what's up? You know, like, I'm a nerd like that, sorry. But Stephen, can you throw that first picture of the fruit up there that we have on the screen? Listen, your gifts, talents, and abilities, you guys don't know about the fruits of the Spirit. You guys know them, right? And certainly it's like gentleness, kindness, long-suffering, self-control. But this is a fruit basket. Thanksgiving is coming up. The little kids are going to start making this a cornucopia, right? You guys remember that? The fall weather reminds me of that. We were walking, where were we at? San Jose. San Diego. And we were walking down the street and I was holding Stephanie's hand. I said, oh, the cold weather and the leaves. I said, it reminds me of Thanksgiving and paper pilgrim hats. You know. But this is a representation. This fruit looks pretty good, huh? Making you hungry. We got chicken and pizza for you after, sister. But this looks good. That fruit is made for a reason. It's made for eating, to nourish our bodies, because it's good. Because God makes good things. Amen? Now, if we leave this and we don't do anything with it, this fruit right here is made for eating, guys. Let's just be honest. Yes? With a little bit of tahini, a little bit of lemon. Man, your mouth is watering, I know. I see. I saw somebody go, shh. Yeah? The next slide, though, brother. Now, this slide is a similar image, but you have a rotten banana at the bottom. You have all kinds of mold. Apple looks gross. That's not what God... That is a fruit that's not used. The fruit has a, there's an expiration to it, is what I'm trying to say. Listen, God has endowed and given us gifts, talents, and abilities, but there's an expiration date to it. Now is the time to exercise. Now is the time to use it. Now, some of you guys, hey, maybe you just have a bunch of grapes. You better use it for God's glory. Some of you have a little bit more. Yeah? Listen, even if you make it better, exercise it, grow that gift. Put some tahini on it. Put some lemon on your gift. But use it for God's glory, guys. There's an expiration date to it. And listen, here's the thing. Wouldn't it be a shame, right? And this is a real talk to you guys. This is not just an encouragement. There's people that you know who don't know who Jesus is. And that window of time where you are a person of influence in their life will close. Wouldn't it be something if you exercise your gift, talent, and ability to ensure that that person made it into heaven and not into the other place where there would be weeping and gnashing of teeth, the third servant? Do you understand what I'm saying? And there is no greater privilege than to serve the King, to serve the Lord, the King of Kings and Lord of Lords, guys. I know you're sitting there and you're saying, well, you're making a compelling argument. Listen, you are invited to serve on God's team. The blessing is for you. Do you understand that? The blessing is for you to multiply the kingdom. The three servants were all given, right? Different quantities. 5, 2, and 1. But do you think that if the one had the one bag of gold would have multiplied it, that the master would have been displeased? No. God is saying, be faithful what you have been given and work your talent, gifts, and ability for Him. Stop looking around. Comparison will rob you of your joy. Do you know what I'm talking about? Comparison will rob you of your joy. You are here. God has given you the opportunity to know Him, to be loved by Him, to serve Him. God has given us enough. Guys, we live in the land of milk and honey. And if we're walking around and we walk in here dissatisfied because I don't have this, I don't have that, that's a nicer car, this, it's always going to be that way, guys. Our eyes on the cross. Our eyes on the cross, guys. Jesus is enough. You've heard me say this. When you get God, you get God. The third point in today's sermon. If I can find it. What happens? You get lost on your own. Too many sheets of paper. But God is calling us to be good stewards of the gifts He has given us. Amen? Serving others, number 3, is serving Jesus Christ in disguise. Serving others is serving Jesus Christ in disguise. In the passage of the Scripture, we're going to keep reading there. If you're already in Matthew 25, we're going to keep going into that same section. That's actually starting 31. It says, when the Son of Man comes in His glory, all the angels with it, on His glorious throne, all the nations will be gathered before Him, and He will separate the people one from another, as a shepherd separates the sheep from the goats. He will put the sheep on His right and the goats on the left. Now, I'm not saying that you guys are goats and sheep on this. I just did that with my hands. But then the King will say to those on His right, come, you who are blessed by My Father, your inheritance for the kingdom prepared for you since the creation of the world. For I was hungry, and you gave me something to eat. I was thirsty, and you gave me something to drink. I was a stranger, and you invited me in. I needed clothes, and you clothed me. I was sick, and you looked after me. I was in prison, and you came to visit me. Then the righteous will answer him, Lord, when did we see you hungry and feed you, or thirsty and give you something to drink? When did we see you a stranger and invite you in, or need clothes and clothe you? When did we see you sick or in prison to go visit you? The King will reply, truly I tell you, whatever you did for one of these least of these brothers sisters of mine, you did for me. Then he will say to those on his left, depart from me, you who are cursed, into the eternal fire, prepared for the devil and his angels. For I was hungry, and you gave me nothing. I was thirsty, and you gave me nothing to drink. I was a stranger, and you did not invite me in. I needed clothes, and you did not clothe me. I was sick and in prison, and you did not look after me. They also answered, Lord, when did we see you hungry or thirsty or a stranger and needing clothes or sick or in prison and did not help you? He will reply, truly I tell you, whatever you did not do for one of the least of these, you did not do for me. Then they will go to the eternal punishment, but to the eternal punishment, but to the righteous, to the eternal life. Man, this when you read these scriptures, oftentimes you think about Jesus and God. This is what happens oftentimes, is that everybody thinks that Jesus and God is like a teddy bear. God is love. He loves me. He won't judge me. God is love. He wouldn't do that. He's a loving God. Have you ever heard that? When you read these passages of scripture, you better know that he's also a just God. There is a warning behind it. And what he's telling them there is to say, listen, at the end of the day, right, I'm going to come and I'm going to separate the people like a shepherd, the sheep and the goats. Now the sheep, right, he's referencing John 10, right? I'm the good shepherd. They know my voice. They know me, right? And they will do what the other part. Now, how many of you guys have been around sheep and goats? You guys know? Been around them? The sheep tend to be gentler. They need more provision. They need to be watched over. How about the goats? What about the goats? They're kind of stubborn, aren't they? They eat your clothes. They just kind of get into all kinds of things. My mom used to have a goat when I was dating Stephanie, and so Stephanie would come over to the house, and the goat would always come over and like just, I didn't like her, I guess. It was a jealous goat. It always kind of like ram her, and it was actually hilarious because it would like chase her around the yard. Remember that goat? Stephanie's like, we need to make that guy Bilia, you know. But I think we probably did eat it. Anyway, but the goats are stubborn. So God is saying, I'm coming to split apart the people, right? Because I'm the good shepherd. And he gives a warning. He say, like, hey, listen, to those of you, right, that are loving people and serving and you're seeing people where they are and you're doing all the things, right? Taking care of the less fortunate. Visiting people that are sick. You're feeding people who are hungry, right? You're caring and you're clothing. You have compassion for people. You have kindness for people. He says, listen, because what he's saying is like, listen, it's not just lip service to you. You don't just come and feel good about yourself. You're actually doing things. You're meeting people where they are. He says, I'm going to set those people apart here. And they're going to get, you know, he's talking about taking them up to the place of eternal, and I want to say it, but the righteous to eternal life. Now the goats, the people who didn't do all these things, he's very clear about too, right? Let me be very clear. Salvation comes through faith in Jesus Christ alone. It's by God's mercy. He's not saying that if you do these things, because there's a lot of people who do good things who also will not inherit the kingdom of God. Do you understand what I'm saying? The God, when we look at the scriptures, we have to look at all of it in its entirety. He's not saying that salvation comes through this, but he's saying that there is an outward expression of what God has done in your life. Does that make sense? It's very difficult to say, like, listen, you love God, but you don't like people? Go back and read John. Right? That God comes to transform our hearts. That God comes to change how we view our attitudes. How we view people. Because then we start to be more like Jesus Christ. We start to see people, that people at the end of the day are hurting. And the reason why they often act that way is because they don't know who God is. There's confusion about who they think is God. And so it's our job to serve, right, with compassion, to suffer with, to come alongside, to serve like it's Jesus in disguise. Now, I don't know about you guys, but that one is convicting for me. Because every one of us in here, I just said, we all have our own mindset, right? We sometimes will say, we'll look at people and we'll say, well, that's because they made bad decisions. They're getting what they deserve. They made that bed, now they need to lay in it. Any of you guys think like that? Just me? Sometimes you guys, well, you guys are all like holy rollers in here. You guys are all like, I see all of you guys feeding the homeless and going to prisons and everything. Yeah? Just me, I'm the only one. Okay. And you, I told you guys, to live is a struggle. To live is a struggle. We have these own proclivities. You know, there's a lot of, and I've shared this, I know I'm going to say it again, right? But God is working in me. I struggle with homeless, people who are homeless. I can't, I'm telling you, because it was part of what my dad would teach me. He would say, because they don't go to work. You know, so that, but I'm fighting that. I'm being honest with you. But God is working in my heart. I've actually been to a couple of events. I'm not trying to justify myself to you. They've been very, every time I go though, they're very thankful and appreciative that you're there. And they always say, we pray. Yes, pray for me, brother. We stopped yesterday to give some hot dogs away, and there's a young man who stopped me, and he says, you know what? I believe that the church is everywhere, and I want to be freed. I want to be made well. And that's when I'm in my car, and I don't want to look, right? Because God is convicting me. I'm just telling you, I'm being honest with you guys. It may not be that for you, but it's something. And God is saying, you got to love that person the way that I love you. You might have it all together, but listen, every one of us has a need. We're desperate for God. Well, we just show up. I'm not saying that we have to be all things to all people, but God is putting in your heart to reach some people for Him. Can we be His hands and His feet? And it might be ministering to single moms. It might be ministering to people who are in prison. It might be ministering to addicts. It might be ministering to the homeless. Whatever that looks like. If God is calling you to do it, then answer the call. Just say yes. Listen, God is not going to put you to a task that He's not going to see you through. It's for His honor and for His glory. He is not a liar. But we have to say yes. How do we make the most of our life? Man, say yes to whatever God has called you to do. If He's given you the talents, gifts, and ability, and the passion to do that, then go do it. Because Jesus Himself is commanding you to do that. There's nothing else that is more important, guys. And so when I see this one, even for me, right, there's conviction when I walk by people that I know that God is saying, hey, you probably want help. Can you help that? It's like, oh, man, I'm busy. I'm running late already. Oh, God, I don't have time right now. But Jesus didn't say that for every single one of us. And every time that we messed up, and every time that we were, maybe we didn't have the outward appearance, but inwardly, we were addicted. Inwardly, we were brokenhearted. Inwardly, our hearts didn't have a home until we were made right and brought home with the Father. Does that make sense? Serving others is serving Christ. He's emphasizing acts of kindness, even small ones, as being done to Him when they are done for those who are in need. Jesus wants us to have compassion and to take action. You guys have heard me say this before. Compassion is a compound of two words. It means to suffer with, to come alongside. Not just to be empathetic, but to come alongside and to suffer with people. And Jesus points out that the way we treat others, especially those who are marginalized and vulnerable, is a reflection on our relationship with God. You know who the biggest hypocrites were in this book? The religious leaders, guys. The Pharisees. They talked a big game that they knew God, but the harshest words that Jesus spoke were to the religious leaders. He says, man, you think you know God, you're full of all this knowledge, but man, there's no practical application. You're dead on the inside. And all I'm saying is that, man, we don't want to be the Pharisees. We want to be like Jesus. And He saw people where they were, and He cared for their needs. And it's for us. We're not God. We're not going to save people. But we can certainly invite them to the one who can. Amen? So how do we make the most of our life, man? Serve God. Do exercise the gifts, talents that He's given you for His honor and for His glory. Nothing else, and I mean this, nothing else that we do, whether we think we're building up, we're trying to build kingdoms here. I want this house. I want this car. I want this job title. I want to have this. None of it matters not about your kingdom. It's about building God's kingdom. Amen? Let's pray. Father God, we come before you this morning in the name of your Son, Jesus, Lord God. And thank you for the reminders that you give us, Lord God, and how you want us to serve and make the most of our life, Lord God. Help us, Lord God, to be the good and faithful servants, Lord God, that we see, Lord God. Whether we have 5 or 4 or 1 talent, Lord God, let us exercise it to all the capacity that we can, Lord God. Your word tells us, Lord, that there will be a reward. And Lord God, when we're trusted with a little bit and we multiply that, you tell us, Lord God, your word tells us that we can be trusted with more because we'll be faithful what you've been giving us, what you've already given us. So thank you, Lord God, for the invitation to be a part of your team. Thank you, Lord God, again, that you want us, Lord, just to serve you. And it's not because, God, you're God. You're sovereign. You're in control. You can do all things. But you invite us to participate. Lord, we don't want to serve out of compulsion and a guilt trip. We want to serve out of an overflow and abundance of love from our relationship with you, Lord God. Lord, you continue just to meet us where we are. Thank you, Lord Jesus. Thank you, Lord God. But none of this is possible if we don't know who you are, Lord God. None of this is possible at all because we are just serving to do good works that make us feel good. We're not here to do works that make us feel good. We're here to be obedient to your word. There's somebody here that has been hearing this message and the Holy Spirit has been prompting them. You want to know more about who Jesus is. You want to know more about who this God is. You want to know more about being devoted to him. I want you to, everyone, just follow along in this prayer. Listen, oftentimes there's confusion about the prayer of salvation. But there's certainly prayers in the Bible of people who are repenting, people who feel the call by Jesus, people who feel the call to God and who want to repent and come back into the... We don't ever like to leave, and at least without giving the opportunity. That's you this morning. I'd like you to raise your hand. Feel the Holy Spirit call upon you this morning if you want to raise your hand. Praise God. Father God, thank you for the salvation that's here, Lord God. You are a good and awesome God. For the rest of us, Lord, I just pray that we would just take this scriptures to heart this morning. Lord, it's not because you want anything from us. You want things for us, Lord God. Thank you again for the invitation to serve alongside, Lord God, and to be a part of your kingdom and to build up the kingdom for you, Lord, to be your hands and your feet and to be able to receive the blessing that comes from finding our purpose and who you made us, Lord God. Every single person has been in this room has been given a spiritual gift, a talent or ability, Lord God. And help us to multiply it and build your kingdom up through it, Lord Jesus. Thank you, Lord God, for your faithfulness, Lord. But God, I know right now, in a room like this, Lord, people are going through some pain, some struggling, some heartache. Lord God, would you meet them at their need, Lord God? Would you just provide for them? If we're tired, Lord, would we just surrender into your arms, Lord God? Would we let go if we're stressed out, Lord? Would we just release that and know that we're not in control, that you are in control? Will we hold on to your promises? Or if we're feeling depressed or we have anxiety, Lord God, we just get back into prayer. Just be reminded, Lord, you want us to cast all of our burdens, all of our worries onto you. And Lord, just continue to fight for us where we are, Lord Jesus. Help us to discover our true purpose and who you made us to be, Lord God. Not in who the world says we need to be like. Every single person in here, Lord God, is unique and loved by you first and made for a purpose, Lord God. Help us to walk in that, Lord God, in confidence, Lord. Number one, knowing that we're loved by you. And number two, that you have a plan for us. And number three, that you are good, Lord God, and you are for us. You won't depart from our side, Lord God. You never leave us or forsake us, Lord Jesus. Thank you again for your grace and your mercy. Father God, thank you again, Lord, for helping us to celebrate, Lord, and being with us for 1 year of this church. And for the things that are to come, through the body of believers, Lord God, for the salvation that is, for the breaking of chains that is to come, for the salvation, eternal life that is going to come, not because of who we are, Lord God, because of who you are, because you deserve all the honor and all the glory and all the praise, Lord God. Thank you again, Lord, continue to guide us, be with us, Lord, as we just pack up and clean up here, Lord, and as we celebrate as a church body, Lord God, your faithfulness, your goodness to us, Lord. We love you. In Jesus Christ's name. Amen.